This is the number one talk station in the Bay Area. Strong, proud, and always conservative. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I thank the chairman very much, and frankly, maybe I should offer a good thanks to the distinguished members of the majority, the Republicans, my chairman, and others, for giving us an opportunity to have a deliberative constitutional discussion that reinforces the sanctity of this nation and how well it is that we have lasted some 400 years operating under a constitution that clearly defines what is constitutional and what is not. The Enforcement Act is not constitutional, but it gives us an opportunity to raise these issues. That's what freedom is. That's what the opportunity of democracy is all about.
So that's it. See, you want to see how intelligent our Congress is, you have to go no farther than Sheila Jackson Lee, the distinguished public servant who says that the Constitution is 400 years old. You know, this is what you need to understand, is that the children in our schools can't read, they can't write, they can't add, they don't know history, but neither do their leaders. Now, today, the leader of the free world, Barack Obama, fresh from a new vacation that must have cost $20 million, the weekend junket, the golfing junket while war drums were being beat, was probably a $4 million job. He sat down and he gave another speech, a dumb speech, about raising overtime pay. And he signed with six different pens so the stooges behind him could take home a souvenir of the great man using his pen and his stool to change the law on his own. Now, what this genius community organizer doesn't understand, since he's never run so much as a lemonade stand, everything has been handed to him since he's a child. What the genius president, chief executive, commander-in-chief doesn't seem to understand is that this bill he just signed today will actually result in workers being reduced to 30 hours a week, so they'll never have any overtime. They'll actually take home less money. Businesses will outsource employees in order to avoid having to pay this onerous overtime pay. In other words, people will make less money. But this is what happens when you have a Sheila Jackson Lee saying the Constitution's 400 years old, and this is what happens when you have a president who was never made for prime time. Now, the big story of the day is the missing plane. That's the big story. Now, I don't know any more than you do. Yesterday, we had a false alarm at the end of the show, the debris. I still don't know what the debris is. Why should I assume it's not the plane? I personally believe the Chinese may not want to disclose to us that they know where the plane is. That's right. Why? You see, you don't understand this. There's a background to this. About a week ago, actually on March 1st, the Uyghurs, those are a Muslim people, in the belly of China, several of their terrorists went on a rampage at a train station in China and killed 29 innocent Chinese people, Han Chinese people, and butchered 140 others. I want you to think about it. What if a group of terrorists went into Penn Station in New York City and slashed 200 people, killing 29 and injured 140 others with knives? Well, you'd hear about it, as you should. But because this happened in China while the president was golfing, and because the worthless media didn't report on this to any extent, you don't know what happened. Any more than you know that a thousand black pastors called for his impeachment 2 weeks ago owing to his stand on gay marriage. That was also buried by the useless media. So we're living in very dangerous times. The China government, the government of China, has a gigantic problem within its own belly. The belly of the beast has a huge Muslim population that have been converted many centuries ago. They have been converted many centuries ago. And they basically engulfed this Muslim population into China, Greater China. And they've been sort of a tension between the two, Han Chinese and this population, for centuries. Well, Apparently, the separatists want their own land, very much along the lines of the Soviet Union breaking up and in the individual nations emerging, such as Ukraine. How'd that work out, by the way? How'd that work out for the world? So I don't think China's going to let the separatists have a separate Uyghur nation. But on the other hand, I don't think China wants a civil war in China right now because the people are fuming. The people's families who were stabbed to death are fuming. They want blood. Never forget that the Chinese people are very warlike people. They can be very cultured and very, let us say, pacifist when need be. But they're also an extremely warlike people with great history of war in their thousands of years of history. The Chinese people are fuming. Now let's go to the missing plane. The families of the people who were on that plane, two-thirds of whom are of Han Chinese ancestry, are fuming. They are angry. They're turning on the lying officials in Malaysia and in China who are hiding something from them. Something is wrong with this picture. Where is the airplane? Now, we know that it flew for an additional several hours after the plane allegedly went missing. The Wall Street Journal reported, and this is very interesting to me, that the engines, these Rolls-Royce engines, I'm familiar with the Tay engines, by the way. These are not Tay engines. The Tay engines, I'm quite familiar with Rolls-Royce Tay engines on smaller jets. But I didn't know that the Boeing 77, which has large Rolls-Royce engines, actually send data back while the planes are flying, while the engines are running. And in a wireless manner, they send information, data about the status of the engine back to the ground as part of a routine monitoring program. And guess what? The plane flew for a total of 5 hours based on data automatically downloaded from the Boeing 777's Rolls-Royce engines. That means it flew for several hours after the plane was reported missing. So where in the world is the plane? Well, they drew a big circle, a big arc. It could be in many places. And now, of course, Malaysia Airlines, which you must understand you should never fly on again. Malaysia Airlines officials are saying that no such data existed. You hear this? So, you know, it's a lying nation, as you well know, run by a dictatorship, a putative dictatorship. Nothing coming out of Malaysia can be trusted here. Now, the Daily Mail, which is a tabloid in England, says was missing jet hijacked. U.S. officials fear MH370 was captured and flown to mystery location after debris seen at sea is ruled out. A new data reveals it was airborne 4 hours after vanishing. Now, even the U.S. government is finally having to say something because they're afraid that they're going to have more egg on their face than they can wipe off with a napkin. So our great Defense Department and our intelligence agencies have taken time out, I guess, from monitoring American citizens who are harmless. And even they are saying now that the mystery may be solved by the fact that the plane was hijacked and flown to a mystery location. That's number two. Now a later report comes out that it's it landed on Kim Kardashian's behind, but it can't be spotted owing to the relative sizes of the airplane and the human being I'm describing. So no one knows. The fact is that we're living in the most dangerous, lying times, and at the same time, John McCain is out there trying to beat the war drums for a military incursion against Russia. This lunatic, this warmonger, you want to hear what I think? I think that McCain will destroy the GOP's chances in the elections coming up in November. No one else will say that to you. Let me explain my thinking in a few minutes. I'm not going to do it all in the opening. It's too much to give you at once. John McCain is a well-known military-industrial complex front man. And we also know that he's not for peace. He's for war. We also know that John the Shane McCain is on the way to Ukraine with a group of other military-industrial complex lobbyists. And they're trying to stir up a little military intervention. The problem here is this. When the midterm elections come about, and the vast majority of voters who are now identifying, self-identifying as independent, you know what they're going to say? You know what? I may not like these lying Democrats, but at least they seem to be against war, even though they're not. The Democrats, of course, have started war from Libya to Syria, but they're so good at PR because they own the press, people think that they're pacifists. But we don't want to vote for Republicans because guys like John McCain typify Republicans, and they're all warmongers. So I'm sending out a message to the Republicans who listen to this show, all of you who will not let your candidates, Ted Cruz, come on the show, all of you phonies who did not let Mitt Romney come on the show, you cost Romney the election, you're going to cost the Republicans an election, and you well know it, because you really don't work for Republicans, do you? I know your names, I know who you are, and I know that you work for the Democrats while posing as workers for the Republicans, as campaign advisors, but the Republicans are so flat-footed they don't even know that they're being had. Did you hear what I just say? The phone number is 855-407-282. I've touched on 4 to 5 different topics to open the show with. Not one. I'm not wrapping myself in the Constitution. I'm wrapping myself in reality, and I'm wrapping myself in pure, unadulterated logic. Logic. Something that is long, a long-lost art form in the United States of America. I am very lucky because I was raised at another time in America where we were taught to think through things. We asked for an answer. My father told me, think about it, and he made me come up with an answer. He wouldn't give me the answer. Now, of course, you have children in school who are drugged from cradle to grave, and they're taught to not think. If they think for themselves, they're admonished by the school moms, and they're taught to spit out groupthink. That's exactly what happens in a dictatorship. Legions, armies, millions of children are brainwashed to turn not only on their society, I mean the elements of society that the powers that be may not wish to exist, but they also turn on their parents, which is what's going on. It once went on in another country called Germany in the 30s, where children reported their parents to the party. That's exactly what's going on in America on a minor key right now. These are the topics that have attracted my attention. We have many, many things to talk about. The phone number is 855-400-7282. If there are any other topics that I've missed, I'm open for business. I've talked about some very serious issues this week, and I thought we did a great job. I did a great job yesterday on that issue of the rabbi and the Israelis. I don't want to do that one again, though. Don't call me on that, please. I think we've covered it. I didn't agree with the rabbi. He didn't agree with me, but we were very polite to each other yesterday about service in the Israeli military, and I think I'd rather leave it at that, okay? Can we just leave it at that? I don't want to cover it anymore. It's an Israeli problem, not an American problem. Unless it becomes a problem in America, because did you see the latest story? An independent commission led by former U.S. Surgeon General, the laughingstock of all time, Jocelyn Elders. Remember her? Remember that bat, that old bat, that Daffy bat, Jocelyn Elders? Well, she led a commission in San Francisco, of course, that after analyzing in their great genius, came up with the conclusion that Obama could lift the ban on transgender troops without approval from Congress. With the stroke of a pen, Barack Obama can say it's okay for trannies to serve. And I'm pretty sure that that would really help group integrity, group self-respect, and greatly increase the fighting ability of our armed forces if only there were more transvestites. This is what is about to happen with our great transformational golfer-in-chief. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I'm going to do what I can on my own to raise wages for more hardworking Americans. So a few weeks ago, I signed an executive order requiring federal contractors to pay their employees a fair wage of at least $10.10 an hour. Today, I'm going to use my pen to give more Americans the chance to earn the overtime pay.
You
that they deserve.
You. I watched this guy.
Overtime's a pretty simple idea.
I watched this guy with the Stooges behind him today signing this overtime law. And I wanted to scream out. I wanted once a heckler to jump up and say, "Hey, Mr. President, how much did your last golf trip cost us?" Not one heckler. How does this man get away? How does he, not that how does he get away with it, I understand it's a closed shop. How does he say this with a straight face? That's what I want to know. Well, okay, that's like saying, how is a politician a politician? How is an actor an actor? How does a sicko play a hero? How many war heroes have you seen in the movies? And then the next day they're talking against guns in the military. How about all of them? I mean, how do they do it? Actors and politicians, they're about the same. I love the cuckoo clock. I mean, I need levity at this stage of my week. It's Thursday already. The news is so horrible. This show is so amazingly dense with information. My show is the Persian miniature of talk radio. Now, those of you who are art aficionados, including those of you who have stolen art in San Francisco, who are listening every day, every time I say, where are the missing 700 paintings taken from the museums, will know what I mean when I say the Savage Nation is the Persian miniature of talk radio. Because I think that most of the rest of the shows are like John Nagy, fill in the dots. I mean, you turn on a radio show today, you can pretty much fill in the dots yourself. You know what you're going to hear. With me, it's a Persian miniature, and as such, I would get bored if I were just filling in the dots. So I hope you'll stay with me. The phone number, as you well know, the Russians, meanwhile, are moving tanks and paratroopers to the border of Ukraine. Oh, you didn't read that in your local paper? Oh, yeah. Obama failed to frighten Putin. Kerry's lantern jaw and hefty ketchup bottles did not intimidate Putin. Because Russia is launching paratrooper exercises east of Ukraine, and Moscow tycoons are moving assets from the west to far east, meaning the rich Russians are moving their assets out of Moscow, incidentally, which is very interesting, which is why real estate is booming in Manhattan, Miami, and Beverly Hills. I don't know if you know that as well. If you look at the upper end of real estate, which I study as a hobby, Manhattan, Miami, and Beverly Hills real estate is just soaring as a result of all the emigres flowing in. They'd rather take a chance on America. They figure Obama will eventually be out of office. And this will once again be a great nation for people who know how to make money and how to spend it. See, make no mistake about it. People who make a lot of money know how to spend it. They buy expensive things, and that helps the economy. People who make no money have no money left over to spend, and that's how you wind up one salami in a butcher shop, which is what they had in the ex-Soviet Union. But don't tell that to Sheila Jackson Lee or Harry Reid. I mean, they should know better, you know. Wow, it's 36 seconds. That's all I have left in this Persian miniature show. So I can't take a call right now. I have one open line at 855-407-2282. I also want to touch on the pension crisis that's emerging. How would you fix this? Chicago faces the worst pension crisis in the country. $1 billion in a balloon payment on his $20 billion pension debt for city employees. San Francisco, New York, Dallas, Houston, swimming in debt because of pensions they cannot pay. How would you fix this problem?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federalist intervention. Weekdays, noon to 3, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Listen, let me just, good, I'm glad you do. Either sit down and keep quiet or get out, one or the other. We're done with you.
They don't want an answer from me.
Good for you. I actually like Chris Christie throwing the heckler out. I live for the day that someone dares to heckle Obama. That's what I'd like to see. I saw the heckler. I mean, they made more out of Chris Christie's Bridgegate than they did out of all the scandals of Obama put together. It just shows you, you know, the relativity of the media here. All right, let's go on to much more important. The subjects are much more important than that. And I put them out there already. I'm not going to repeat them. If you just tuned in and came in late and you're tardy to the Savage Nation, you'll have to catch up with the rest of the class. So let's begin on WABC right now with Donna. She has a point to make. Donna, go ahead, please.
Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid of what you're going to say, but I cannot believe how hateful you are. What's wrong with transvestites in the military?
I'm hateful when I didn't even say anything other than I'm opposed to it? That makes me hateful?
What's wrong with them in the military?
Wait a minute. You're the hateful one. You already called me hateful for disagreeing with the policy that's not even policy. So who's the hater here, you or me?
So you don't let people talk to you, Jed.
Well, you talked already. What do you mean I don't? Now you're changing the subject again? Don't piss me off, Donna. If you're not smart enough to make your point, I will throw you off the show. Now, you said transgender should be allowed in the military. Please go ahead and explain how that increases military readiness.
Because it's a free nation and all people are created free under the Constitution.
Now, excuse me, ma'am. What is the purpose of the military?
to defend our nation, to keep our people.
All right, good. Oh, good. I'm glad you went to the fifth grade. The military is a little different than the schools that you were brainwashed in, and it has a specific purpose. So explain to me how putting transgendered people into the military will increase the ability of this nation to defend itself against enemies. I don't understand your point yet.
Keep them out. Why do you even have to...
Donna, you're not answering me. Don't, no, Donna, try to use your logical faculty, the few little brain cells that are left, that actually have logic left in them. I realize no one challenges you because you scare everyone by calling them hateful the minute you wake up in the morning. That's your defense mechanism. But I don't go for defense mechanisms. I go for pure, unadulterated Aristotelian logic. I'm asking you how putting transgendered people in the military will improve our national security. That's all I'm asking you. Donna, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Donna, cat got your tongue all of a sudden? Yeah, I'm sure. Skidded right off the show. You got to understand what goes on in this country. This is a game that they play in schools, universities, and other public places. The minute you say one word, you're a hater. She started out by calling me a hater. All I said is that Obama could lift the transgender troop ban without approval from Congress. And I said, that's the worst idea I've heard yet. Number one. And number two, how does that increase our military readiness? The answer was she had no answer other than to say you're hateful for supporting the ban on transgendered people in the military. Now, if you think that providing hormone treatment, sex reassignment surgeries, if you think that changing bathrooms is something we need to do at a time when the military is already under assault by the left-wing fanatics who hate the military, then you're crazy. And, of course, you have to understand who the commission is, or composed of, who did this. It's none other than the lunatic Jocelyn Elders, who served as a so-called Surgeon General during Bill Clinton's first term as president. She is the one behind this commission in San Francisco, which says that the putting trannies into the military is a good idea, that there's no reason not to. And then they say at least a dozen nations, including Australia, Canada, England, and Israel, allow military service by transgender individuals. Now, transgender rights advocates have been lobbying the Pentagon to revisit the blanket ban in the U.S. since Congress in 2010 repealed a law that barred gay, lesbian, and bisexual individual mobilizers in the military. So now we've gone from gay people serving in the military, which unto itself was very controversial when it was lifted by Obama's minions. Now, of course, the barnyard gate is open, and now they want transgenders in the military. How will that help our Navy, for example? Well, as you well know, they will have to probably change the bathrooms on ships. How many tens of billions of dollars will that cost? Huh? Putting transgendered people in barracks, showers, and other sex-segregated places will cause sexual assaults to increase, which is, of course, one of the reasons the psychopaths on the left want this to happen. It will infringe on the privacy of non-transgender personnel, and meaning normal people. Now, see, if you're normal, you're not even normal anymore. You're non-transgendered. Let's say 99.9% of the population is not transgendered. They're now not normal. They're called non-transgendered. So it's the world upside down. It's the entire upside down world. This is a tremendous burden on normal men and women in the military. And they certainly don't need and deserve this done to them. Now, how did this come about? It was done by the Palm Center, which previously researched Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it is funded in part by a $1.3 million grant from none other than Jennifer Pritzker. Jennifer Pritzker, one of the Pritzker family, I believe, from the Pritzker Hyatt fortune. You hear this? Now, I don't mind that people are gay. That's their business. I don't mind that they're transgendered. That's their, let us say, sadness. It's a terrible burden to live with, incidentally, which any mature transgendered person will tell you. It's not a happy life that they have. They have a very miserable life and a very sad life. And not because of the straight society. It's because it's a sort of a gray world, a nether world, whether you're neither here nor there. And although they're being sold a bill of goods by greedy surgeons and whatnot, it's a very sad way to live. It's a very hard way to live. But I don't think you need to impose that on the U.S. military. Impose it, if you will, on Harvard, on Yale, institutions of lower living. Impose it on the University of California, an institution of lower living. But please don't try to impose it upon the U.S. military. They have a different job to do than teaching children how to enjoy themselves. This is one of the topics. I don't know that we even want to spend any more time on it, but it's a big topic, by the way. Meanwhile, Russia launches paratroop exercise east of Ukraine, and we're arguing whether to put trannies into the military. You hear? How many transvestites are in the Russian military? How many transgenders are in the Russian military? How many? Did you understand that there's a purpose for a military that is different than a university? And that applying principles of left-wing social engineering to the military don't always work out for the sake of national security? I mean, very easy for me to say, oh, yeah, I'm for it and make you feel good, but I'm not for it because it's very bad for national security. If you care to discuss this, I'm open to it. But please don't start by saying that I'm mean or cruel. That's irrelevant. That's an irrelevancy. It has nothing to do with the discussion. I actually think you're mean or cruel to try to impose this on the military, but I wouldn't say that to you. Okay? 855-407-2822 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. The website's michaelsavage.com. The fire is out in San Francisco. We still find it very odd that it started 2 days after the newspapers reported that several of the fire girls were making over $300,000 a year. You hear this? How can this city survive with such greedy pigs in the fire department earning over $300,000 a year with pensions that are probably going to cost more than $500,000 a year? Animal Farm, read Animal Farm, watch the cartoon. Watch the cartoon and you'll see where liberalism takes you. Read Animal Farm all over again. You'll see why fire girls make over $300,000 a year in San Francisco. Okay? I don't think they did a very good job on the fire, by the way. Huge Mission Bay blaze is being reported that it's out, right? Did they do a great job on stopping it? How come they didn't stop it sooner? How come they didn't stop the fire sooner, I would like to know. There were 90 fire engines that showed up, and the fire was not really stopped too quickly. And in the meantime that this was going on, the fire chief and her friends were about two blocks away in a command center giving media reports all day long, and there was not so much as a carbon smudge on her white helmet or white uniform. But there were men climbing the ladders, very brave men climbing the ladders. But they didn't stop the fire and too quickly, as far as I can tell. I'd like to know what you think about that. That blaze of one building in San Francisco took half of the entire fire department in the whole city to handle it. You hear this? So I'd like to know what you think about that. I'd like to know, if you live in San Francisco, what the six-alarm fire meant to you. Huh? The six-alarm fire. Do you think the fire department did the right thing? Do you think the fire department stopped the fire in a reasonable amount of time? Do you think they could have done it better if they had worked in a different manner? Are there any firemen willing to call with a handkerchief over the mouthpiece to tell me what really went on? Anyone on this line from San Francisco and KSFO or in this in the greater Bay Area who knows what really went on? Okay, let's go to the transgender in the military story. I think it's a bigger one than the fire department. WMAL, Dan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
My understanding is that if you go into the military, you want your soldiers to be 100% tip-top in mind, body, and soul. From the transgender people that I know or I have been, introduced to and everything, from what I've seen, there's a lot of emotional issues in the minds and souls of these people. And God bless them, you know, to do what they want to do and figure out what they want to do. But to put them in a situation where they're going to be carrying a gun and, carrying all that kind of baggage on top of their own personal issues seems to me just like way out there in outer space somewhere. I don't understand even entertaining the concept, and I don't see any transgender person who would want to go into the military except maybe, I don't know, for fun. It really is confusing.
How about what it does to the straight soldiers having trannies in their midst?
It's hard to say. I guess it, as a blanket thing, it might cause some issues. for individual soldiers who are more interested in being soldiers than worry about people's personal crap. I don't know.
To me, when I say soldier, when I say military, I want them to be the strongest, toughest guys in the world. I want them to be the strongest, toughest men in the world. And if the women are tough and strong, and there are plenty of them, and they want to fight for the nation, and they're willing to sacrifice their lives, God bless them too. I don't understand how this can increase the posture of the American military. All it can do is make us a laughing stock and further weaken our image abroad. Let's take Al Qaeda. Do you think Al Qaeda would put transvestites into their terrorist brigades?
No, and if we're talking about transvestites too, they're going through all kinds of hormone therapy and putting all kinds of drugs into their body. That's not going to be a 100% tip-top shape either. I'd be kind of suspect about what's being put into their...
Because the next thing you're going to hear is that trannies should serve in the combat brigades in special forces, because it's discriminatory to keep them in the back areas. So we're going to have to put them in the front lines fighting people who... I don't think would be terribly afraid of a special forces unit that has a tranny in it. I mean, that's my own personal belief system. I could be wrong. If you're a member of Al Qaeda or an Al Qaeda sympathizer, and you think otherwise, and you'd like to call the show and tell us that you in fact do, under your religious laws, have trannies in Al Qaeda, give me a ring. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
God, the news is so hot right now, I don't know where to begin. I'll just go stick with the subjects I started with. Another report came out a minute ago. You remember the cop, the off-duty cop, accused of shooting the moviegoer in a movie theater because he was texting? It said he himself, the cop, sent the text in the theater moments before he shot the other man. You hear this? Oh, my goodness, this is a bad story. Okay, let's go to the callers. On the Internet, in Pennsylvania, Wendy is a pilot. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you. It's so nice to speak to you, and I like your perspective on things. And I nearly laughed myself off the road with the plane landing on Kim Kardashian's rear.
that was something I made up. Because that's about the size of it right now. No one knows where this plane went, but I understand. Are you a pilot?
No. I was an international flight attendant for 32 years with the now-defunct Pan American World Airways.
All right. So what is your theory here?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're looking into everything. I think they're doing a really bad job. But in any event, this man had the captain had an assimilator in his home. Now, I...
One of the Mohammeds had a simulator in his home that was his toy?
Captain had an assimilator in his house.
Have you ever heard of it? In all your years of flying, did you ever know of a captain who had a toy flight simulator in his house?
Any pilot. They love their flying. They did not have an assimilator in their house. I said to the guy that monitors this call, that's like you having a microphone in your house. He says you do.
I do. No, I have a microphone in my bed. But the thing is, I don't play with the microphone when I'm off air. I don't sit there and play with it. Why would he have a flight simulator in his house? For what reason?
That's my question. Why wasn't anything...
Well, if it was in America, I'm sure that the FBI would get the flight simulator and tell us that it had pictures of returning Christian male soldiers with crosses on it, and they're the responsible party. We wouldn't get the truth here either. Because if Malaysian officials would do their work, they would go into his house, they'd look at the simulator, and they would retrace what he was doing on that simulator, wouldn't they?
That's right. And they would get his computer.
Or if we had a TSA, that was monitoring American citizens who are suspicious, and not bothering us innocent Americans, maybe they could hack into the flight simulator and tell us what he was doing on that simulator. I mean, if they could hack into anyone's computer and cell phone, including the German Prime Minister's phone, why can't they hack into his flight simulator?
They should.
Okay, maybe they have. Maybe the NSA's already done so, and they know something they're not telling us. Okay, thanks for the call. That's one story. Florida man accused of shooting moviegoer for texting sent text moments before. His own son reported that. Curtis Reeves' son, Matthew Reeves, told detectives that his father texted him at 1:04 p.m. to document show. And while he was seated in there, he used his own phone for texting. But because the guy in front of him texted, I guess he didn't like it, so he shot him. Well, it's just a lifestyle choice to shoot someone for texting, especially if you have a gun in a movie theater. Everyone needs a gun in a movie theater, right? You never know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is the number one talk station in the Bay Area. Strong, proud, and always conservative. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so far.
Yep, it's a world in turmoil because of the madness of this administration. It's a world gone mad. It's spinning off its axis. In the name of peace, they create war. In the name of business, they create job loss. In the name of fairness, they create unfairness. Shall I go down the list? Because I read Brave New World. I know how it works. War is peace. Love is hate. This is what Obama specializes in. He doesn't even understand that his own rhetoric is unraveling on him. Today he gives a speech. He's, all of a sudden, with the stroke of a pen, our dictator-in-chief says he has a pen. He has a chair, he has a desk, and he's going to sign it, and he does it. And he signs a new law, fresh, brand new law, that he came up with all by his clever little self. Never ran a lemonade stand, never produced a product in the entire world that anyone ever wanted. His entire life was spent pushing papers and community organizing. I mean, unto themselves, those are not crimes. But he doesn't know the first thing about business and what it takes to run and manage a business. So he says, I'm raising the overtime pay. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like very, very good. Everyone should be paid for overtime. Until you add it up, and then the business say, wait a minute, we can't afford it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to cut our employees down to 35 hours a week, and we're going to outsource jobs, Mr. President. Now, do you understand what happens when you have a man who has not run a business trying to manage an economy of this size? Which is why I say one of the precepts, or shall I say qualifications for the presidency should be that you've never been a lawyer. Because lawyers don't run businesses, generally. Lawyers are very, very clever at what they do, but they don't know business. Generally, they don't know business at all. They don't run businesses, unless they also happen to be businessmen. But generally, people trained in the law are not trained in running a business. A business requires profit and loss. You need to take risks. You need to invest capital in order to make capital. These are principles that are very hard to understand if you are a lame brain college professor who's never done that. If all you've done is collect a check from a giant bureaucracy like a university, you don't understand that the money comes from somewhere. So what you do is you spend it. You go on trips and junkets and you hire consultants and you give missives and speeches, but you have no idea where the money comes from. That's why the nuts in the colleges walk around saying the world's unfair. What's unfair if they teach 4 hours a week? Anyway, that's one topic. Trannies in the military is another topic. Russia launches paratroopers in an exercise east of the Ukraine, which the media is not reporting because it'll make Obama look like what he is. My monologue today was that McCain looks like he's bent on destroying the GOP in 2014 because of his warmongering. And then I didn't touch on this topic. I'd like to bring it up, which is pension crisis. How would you fix this? Illinois has an unfunded pension debt of $19 billion. Chicago, $20 billion pension debt. And the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is struggling to figure out how to pay the balloon payment, which is $1 billion right now, a whopping $1 billion, which is equal to one-third of the city's entire budget. And this is a big story not only for Chicago, but every city in America, perhaps every town in America. Here in the Bay Area of San Francisco, there are people with pensions that would make you cry. The greediest pigs you've ever seen in your life. With pensions nobody can afford. In the town of Larkspur, California, for example, where I have a friend who lives, the roads are the brokenest in the entire county. The streets are broken, and the pensions are gargantuan. And so he put out a little flyer called Potholes Not Pensions, and they hate him for it in the town. They called him a mean person. A mean person for not letting all of the grifters in the city of Larkspur, California, run off to Illinois, or rather run off to North Carolina after they retire from the town of Larkspur with their fat pensions. So, the city's teachers' pensions are widely understood to be one of the worst funded in the country. The teachers' pension fund will require a tripling of its required contribution. So I ask you, how do you think this is going to resolve? You have police department pensions that no one can afford. You have, by the way, many of you say, wait a minute, they earned it and they deserve it. That's not the issue. How are you going to pay for it? According to the Wall Street Journal, the balloon payment in Chicago alone could pay for the salaries of the Chicago Police Department's entire 4,300 officer force, or for the repaving of all 16,000 blocks of roads in the city. And that's just for the balloon payment on the pensions. So what would you do to pay off the pensions in California, San Francisco, San Jose, San Rafael, California, New York City? Raise taxes? That's another example of a bureaucrat's answer. A bureaucrat automatically says just raise taxes on the rich, which means everybody. Cut services. Is that going to fix the problem? You're going to have to raise taxes and cut services, but that's not going to fix the problem. You're going to have to cut the pensions as well. Now, by the way, the state of Illinois comes in at a second place in a number of citizens moving out of the state. Outward migration for the land of Lincoln ranked second only to New Jersey in 2013. So if you care to chime in on the pension crisis, how would you fix it? Phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. To leave a few lines open for that one. You can drop line one. Let's move on. Drop line two with the cell phone and the plane, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to the I don't know about yesterday's dealing. Okay, this theory I like. I never heard this one that's coming up. WNIX in Mississippi. Thomas, go ahead, please. What's your idea now on the plane, the missing plane?
My idea, Mr. Savage, is transponder goes off. Nobody can communicate. Plane veers off course. Enters unauthorized airspace. Somebody's military tries to reach out. No response. No response. Shoots it down. In the aftermath, they look down, see bodies on the ocean, clean it up real quick. Plane vanishes and nobody knows.
So now that's an interesting theory. Of all the theories I've heard, frankly, Thomas, no one has proposed that in the media. No one.
I haven't heard it either. I'm surprised.
Haven't heard it. This is an example of original thinking on my on the Savage Nation. I believe I have the most intelligent listeners in America listening to this show. And I believe it by the calls I get. Not all, certainly, but many of them are brilliant. This is a brilliant insight. No one's come up with it. All the newspaper writers, all of the government, no one said that. So let's review it. Say it again in your own words so the people can hear it.
All right. Transponder goes off, so nobody can communicate with the plane. For whatever reason, the plane veers off course, enters unauthorized airspace. Somebody's military tries to reach out. No response, no response, no response. Shoots it down. In the aftermath, they look down, they see what it is, a civilian airliner, bodies laying everywhere. Clean it up real quick, call a crew in, clean it up, plane vanishes, and nobody knows.
Well, that would explain why there's no debris, I'll tell you that. And it could be that that's why the Malaysian Air Force and military is giving conflicting reports on everything.
There's red flags. There's the photocopied or the photoshopped pictures that were obviously badly done. There's just too many red flags. There's no reason that nobody.
Are you former military, or how do you come up with such good thinking?
Well, I was 6 years, two tours in Iraq, but. The Mississippi private school system is a pretty damn good educational system. So
yeah, contrary to what the elitists of the Upper East Side of Manhattan would like you to believe, I'm sure you got a better education than their children do in private schools where they learn how to put a condom on a cucumber and that George Washington was a racist. I'm sure you got a better education.
Yeah, and meanwhile, in eighth grade, we were learning Latin. So.
Oh, my. Well, that's a racist language, Thomas. You understand that. It's a language used to trick third worlders.
That's right.
Well, Thomas, thanks for your brilliant insight. I don't know what to say other than thank you very much for listening and calling in. That's a great one. Now another host would repeat it now, what he just said. That's a special emotion. You ever listen to talk radio? A caller comes up with something, guy repeats it like he thought of it. Thought of it. I can't repeat it. I don't put that past the Malaysian Air Force, do you? You heard the man's theory, didn't you? You heard the man's theory to explain why there's no flotation devices, no debris of any kind. Malaysia's now under criticism for the way they've mishandled the search. And now Malaysian government officials are contradicting themselves. And China's criticizing Malaysia. Malaysia's civil aviation chief, Datuk Azharuddin Abdul Rahman, said Malaysia had not been officially informed by China about the new images. Of course, now the images, it turns out they say, were false. What is that about? China last night reported floating debris. All of a sudden, we wake up in the morning and they say, forget about it, it's nothing. Oh, no, it's nothing. No, 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 we were mistaken, it's nothing. It was a ghost image. It was nothing. It's a spot on a purple dress. It wasn't even there. So what is this about? What is wrong here? Something is wrong with this picture. Now, some other person saying that there was a nuclear bomb on the plane. And it went off prematurely and in 1 millisecond vaporized everything on the plane. That's why there's no debris, no fuel, no black box or anything. It was all instantly atomized. Well, but wait a minute. Wouldn't that flash have been picked up around the world? Of course it would have. Satellites would have gotten that. I don't believe that. There are hundreds of military satellites orbiting the planet, and several of them would have captured this event, and we would have known of it by now. It's more than just lightning. It would have been a massive EMP blast that would not have gone unnoticed. So the nuke theory is not at all plausible, right? The idea of hijacked, I don't buy that one. I don't believe that one. I'm not buying that. I'm not expecting that we're going to wake up tomorrow and see a repeat of the Iran hostage crisis. I don't believe that's coming. I don't think there's going to be a raid on Entebbe coming either. Something else. What if you never, ever hear that the plane where the plane is? Where is it? Tell me where it is. I don't know where it is. I have no idea. The last caller had the best theory, the most plausible theory of all, right? That they shot it down by accident, then they overflew the area and said, oh, my God, mistake, passenger plane. And then they quickly scrubbed the area, and then that's the end of it. I mean, who knows? But it's certainly plausible. It's plausible. We have some great callers waiting, including former Army Intelligence, who are calling with scatter devices and handkerchiefs over their mouthpiece, and we'll get them the minute we return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
We don't keep our opinions to ourselves, and neither should you. I'm the only conservative station in the Bay Area.
All right, here's some news. I'm trying to make a new show as well. Jeffrey Corzine, former New Jersey governor's son, dead at 31. The son of former New Jersey Governor John Corzine. Remember, John Corzine was involved with a fund that lost, I think it was $1 billion or something like that, and he was never indicted. This has nothing to do with his son's death. Just to put it in context, you know, if you stole a pencil at a drugstore, you'd go to jail. But he was in charge of a fund $1 billion went missing or something like that. And because he was a former Goldman Sachs and a big Dem, he celebrated. He walked away laughing. Nevertheless, this is a tragic end to his son. He died. Worked as a drug counselor in California, just 31. Details of the child's death, the son's death, were not immediately known. Terrible. Terrible. The youngest of the former politician's three children with ex-wife Joanne Corzine, Jeff, also had launched a fledgling photography website. I mean, it's neither here nor there, but, you know, it's in the news, and the name Corzine came up again, and you may have forgotten him. People don't forget, though, $1 billion, those who lost it. That was someone's money. It disappeared. Whatever. I told you in the last break, former cop accused of killing the man over text in the theater was also texting a few minutes before. You hear? You hear the nut? We'll go back to the big story, which is the missing plane. And I want to go to a man who says he's former intelligence, or current intelligence, Army intelligence. Warren on WABC in New York City. Go ahead, please.
you're correct, former intelligence officer, Dr. Savage.
Well, that's why you can speak out. Yeah, why is it the government officials wait till they retire to say anything? I wish they'd speak out while they're in the government, but all right, go ahead, tell us what you think is going on here.
Well, the retribution is too severe. With your look what happened to the great generals. They're all gone. Look what happened to the midterm officers, captains, colonels, all the...
Right. Obama has decapitated the military because they must have said something to the great commander-in-chief behind the scenes.
Well, a lot of it had to do with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but I would like to say why Thomas from Mississippi is exactly right on this. He's got the best theory yet on this plane disappearance. He ought to get a short skirt and go to work for Roger Ailes at Fox News Channel.
God. That's right. That's one of the qualifications is lipstick on your collar. So why is his theory correct?
Well, it is because we've seen other examples of the same thing. Look at Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There's a hole in the ground with no evidence of an airplane in that hole in the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The contractors built a memorial, and they go there every year.
But where is that plane? I've often thought about that, but not often enough. Where is the plane?
Well, the plane that traveled in that vicinity was shot down in a neighboring town to Shanksville and very nearby, but the debris field was cleaned immediately. And exactly as Thomas from Mississippi opined on this case in the news now, and that's that's what was in the back of his mind. He's seen it before, and he's learned the truth of this, and he's not dissuaded by people who say, call him names. He's not a conspiracy theorist. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy truth, and that is that there was no plane in that hole in Shanksville where they celebrate this every year to try to.
All right, so what you're saying is this Malaysian plane was accidentally shot down by probably the Malaysian military. They overflew it. They saw the debris and said, oh, my God, it's a passenger plane. They sent out the naval vessels, cleaned up the debris field, and that explains it in your mind.
Easy to do. And look at the 9/11 situation where you had Building 7 at 5:30 in the evening. 47-story structure of concrete and steel, which collapsed neatly into its own footprint in free-fall time, having been hit by nothing at 5:30 in the evening. Your listeners don't even know that occurred. Go to the YouTube, put in Building 7, watch that thing come down, and you'll see that it was a textbook.
Yeah, and I've seen that. See, now that already is a conspiracy theory. I watched the planes hit the building on television. I don't buy that part of it, and I think it undermines the discussion we're having. But thank you. All right. People want to believe it was a setup and done by the government. I don't. But then again, I've seen the movie Clean Skin, which is a British anti-terror movie that's unbelievable. Go see Clean Skin, and you'll see the government was the terrorist that set off the hotel bombing in England in that movie. Clean Skin, I think. Terrific movie.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I understand that various intelligence agencies monitor various websites, and we check the report. There are many websites that they have staff monitoring. There's no sign they monitor the Savage Nation, but I wish they did, because maybe they would have picked up a theory just now that would be of some value to somebody in the government. You know, maybe they could learn something that they can't get from a website. Is it possible that the American people who call programs such as this may have brains, or brains exist only east of the Hudson River and in Washington, D.C.? I tend to think that there are brains west of the Hudson River that are less washed than the brains east of the Hudson River, so to speak. It doesn't mean everyone in New York is brainwashed. I'm saying, you know, don't be so provincial about it. So, where are we today? Russia massing military forces near borders with Ukraine and conducting paratroop exercises, while America is considering permitting transvestites into the military. Obama, after breaking the economy with Obamacare and everything else the man has done, is now today signed a new bill. A new bill now ordering overtime pay. Gary must pay overtime, which will result, in fewer work hours and fewer jobs. What else is going on in the world? Whatever you want to talk about. I don't want to hear the word green. Anyone who talks about green is a phony. Anyone who mentions the word green is just a liberal phony. That's all I can tell you. You know what I mean? It's like a religion. Keep it to yourself. I'm not interested in your sexuality nor your religion. Keep it to yourself, and don't tell me how green you are. It's an example of how biased you really are. Because the people who really work at these issues don't tell you about it. They're not Al Gore, you know, holier than thou on it. It's kind of a religious thing. Like, oh, I'm green. I'm greener than thou. Remember, holier than thou? Now it's greener than thou. Green house, green food, green dog, green shoes, green floor. It's sort of a religious thing. I'm greener than thou. How about John McCain going to Ukraine? What do you think about that? Let's play a little bit of the McCain so they get the voice of the gravelly crazy man in clip one, Neil.
Vladimir Putin's statements to the press that these are neo-Nazis and anti-Semites and still denies that it's Russian troops there. I mean, this is right back to the old Cold War rhetoric. And here's the fundamental problem, and the reason why I called it feckless is because this president believes that somehow with this reset that we that it will turn Putin into a different person.
All right, this is an old soundbite, but he's off to Ukraine right now with a contingent of warmongers to see if they can stir the masses up into some kind of activity to cause a riot again. Maybe look at the funny hat. This old warmonger went over there in December and stirred up the masses, you know, just at the, on the verge of the Olympics, and he got what he wanted. They overthrew a legitimately elected leader of Ukraine. So why wouldn't he want to repeat that? You know, I stayed up last night. I couldn't sleep last night. And the one thing that was bothering me the most was McCain. My subconscious kept replaying McCain, and I said, wait a minute. McCain ran for the presidency. I forgot he ran for the presidency. I forgot that he ran against Obama the first time and that he could have won had he not also been a fall guy of the establishment. Do you remember in the last debate, excuse me, before the first debate with Obama, when Obama was nothing but an unknown senator and could have easily been defeated by McCain, who had a war record, he was loved by most Americans, people were calling him, and we played it on this show and said, why don't you tell him, mention the Muslim background, his sympathy for Muslims? And McCain was recorded as saying, oh, no, no, ma'am, he's a good American, a nice young man like the rest of us. He's a good American. Do you remember when he did that? The American people were ready to hear the truth about this relationship. Now, let me clear the air on this. Not all Muslims are terrorists. We all know that, but I have to repeat it. And I don't believe the claim that Obama is a closet Muslim myself. However, there was a relationship, certainly in his middle name, Hussein, that was worthy of mention at that time, and McCain refused to talk about it. And I don't believe, by the way, that Obama is anything more than an idealistic progressive type who hates America, because his entire background, education, political history, and stance is a man who is nothing but a university progressive. And he really has difficulty making decisions on his own. He has such an open mind, Obama does, that it stays open for so long that he can't make a decision. President Obama, in my opinion, lacks discipline. President Obama, in my opinion, is unprepared for every unexpected encounter. President Obama, in my opinion, seems to be at his absolute best when he has a teleprompter and is handled like a very skilled actor. Because when President Obama is left to himself, his statements are often very poorly organized, they lack coherence, and they don't seem to even recognize his own espoused views. He seems to be most comfortable to me when he presents himself as a stand-up comedian on an entertainment show or in front of an audience and says things that appear to expect applause and approval because he expects it, and not because he really even understands what he said and its deep meaning. I believe he's a classic academic type. He's unwilling to admit his shortcomings. I believe he, like many like him, are incapable of seeing the pothole that their foot is already standing in. I believe that his management skills and those like him in academia are very limited, and their management skills are actually limited to being managed. I believe that their political aspirations greatly exceed their grasp. I believe that people like Obama are very excellent when they're held up by a support mechanism that has power and money and owns the media. and has a willing cadre of people who, like himself, really don't know what they're supporting, but know that all of the chants and the love and the learn that they hear are good. And that's what I think is going on here. But I don't think Obama is a Muslim. Why? Because I don't think he believes in anything but himself. I don't think that Obama is as dangerous as you may think. I think he's far more dangerous than you think. Because, although he may not be a Muslim, he's an anti-American. And I say that with all candor. Virtually every one of his instincts, it's embedded in his DNA. I believe his anti-Americanism is encoded in his DNA, by the way. Now, it's not that he sat in Jeremiah's church for 20 years inculcating this anti-Americanism. I believe that the DNA in President Obama was encoded before he sat in that church. I think he sought out Jeremiah Wright's church because it reaffirmed his hatred for this country. And they say that his hardest 90 minutes in his entire tenure as president, in his own words, was talking to Putin on the red phone and being told, no, you can't have your way, President Obama. So perhaps Clint Eastwood was right, and that the explanation that Clint Eastwood gave is that he is an empty chair. Maybe that's what it really is. Maybe that's what it really is. But remember, even empty chairs can be very dangerous. That's all I have to say on the presidency right now. I tend not to Obama bash because it's not a winning proposition. We've all seen the man at work, and we're not sure that there's any reason to talk about it anymore. We know that because of this military situation, he's basically spent all of his leadership capital. He's shown he has none. He gave one red line after another with Syria, and they came to nothing. And so far as we know, if there were chemical weapons there, they haven't been removed yet. And so now he's on to giving Russia warnings. So what is Putin doing? Well, I told you what Putin's doing. They've launched paratroop exercises right on the border of Ukraine. They're moving tanks up to the border of Ukraine. They're not afraid of him or of Kerry. They know that these are hollow threats. Now, today, this is a little different. A certifiably tough lady. She looks like a tough guy. Really mean type, that Merkel. Merkel's the scary school teacher type. She's like the scary principal in a school. Tells you to put your papers away. The principal's here, and she gives you a surprise test. Dour. She comes in and she says to him, you've got one day. She gave him, I think, one day to get his troops out of there, to call off the vote. And they're not going to call it off. You know that. Or there's going to be sanctions against Russia. But look out what it's going to do to the markets. It's going to roil the markets worse than they've been roiled today. Because if we punish Russia, if we punish Russia with sanctions, they're going to boomerang on all of our stock markets and financial markets in the West. They're going to be roiled by this. It's crazy. So you say, well, what are you supposed to do? Let him do what he wants? Okay, you figure it out. You figure out in whose sphere of influence Crimea and Ukraine are in. Your sphere of influence or Putin's sphere of influence? Is it our warm water fleet that sits in Crimea or Putin's? He's going to give up Russia's only warm water port. I told you that 4 weeks ago. We knew the outcome. You didn't have to be a checker. You could be a checker player and figure this one out. You didn't even have to play chess. You could just play checkers and know how it was going to work out. We've got a bunch of bumbling, incompetent, pacifist, liberal politicians who only terrorize citizens who have no power. Citizens like you and me. They scare us to death every day. But they have absolutely no guts and no glory when it comes to truly dangerous dictatorships or truly dangerous terrorists. With them, it's look the other way. That's the mark of a petty dictatorship. They turn on their own citizens. Obama and his administration are like an autoimmune disease of the body politic. I'll repeat it in case you didn't write it down and send it on to the NSA. President Obama and his administration are like an autoimmune disease of the body politic. They attack the body itself. Rather than defending the body politic, they attack the body politic like an autoimmune disease. Then again, you'd have to study epidemiology for a few seconds to know what that means. I'm sure by now the average educated person knows what an autoimmune disease is, since so many people suffer from them. And I think it's fairly common knowledge what an autoimmune disease, whether it be one infection or another. It's when the body's defense cells turn on the body itself. And when you have a government like this, which is acting like an autoimmune disease, what we need is an antiviral medication to save us from it. We need something to turn off the immune system called the Obama administration before it kills the entire body politic. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
First of all, I want to be President of the United States, and obviously I do not want Senator Obama to be.
I hear mumbling.
But I have to tell you, he is a decent person and a person that you do not have to be scared as President of the United States. Now,
okay, that was McCain. We found it. Neil found it. That was McCain when he had a chance to defeat Obama before the first debate two elections ago, and instead he chose to elevate him. This is the same man who tells us we need to be at war with Russia. Here's a new poll from the Pew Organization. As you well know, I think the Pew Organization stinks, not just because of its name, but they say that the GOP youth supports gay marriage. The issue of same-sex marriage and gay families marching through American institutions is also marching through the Republican Party, at least among the youngest members of Republicans. A new poll from the Pew Research Center reports that only 39% of Republicans overall support same-sex marriage. However, the youngest generation, the so-called millennials, ages 18 to 29, support homosexual marriage by 61%. The so-called millennials are the only GOP cohort to show majority support for same-sex marriage. Their baby boom parents support it by less at 30%. Their older siblings in Gen X, 30 to 49, support it by only 43%. And the silent generation grandparents, the silence, 65 plus, the silent, they've given a name to people over 65, the silence? The silent generation now? This is funny. The silenced ones, age 65 and up, show only a 22% support for the issue. Who comes up with these ideas? Millennial. I never heard of such things, how you can define an entire generation. Actually, you know, when I grew up, the lost generation was named, the 1920s, the lost generation from World War I. They had a reason to be lost. They were lost from a horrible war that had no reason to exist, to have existed, or to have taken place, like the war that McCain is trying to gin up right now. It's the Savage Nation. We're coming to the end of this hour. And if you don't watch South Park, but you listen to the Savage Nation, then you must be a member of the Maybe I should do a little list. If you don't watch South Park, but you listen to conservative talk radio, you're a member of the silent generation. We could do it that way. If you have never listened to a conservative talk show and you only watch South Park and you text even while you're on the toilet, you're a member of the millennial generation. See, we could do a few things like that that define a generation. If you have sex with that, no, I was only going to say something I shouldn't say on a family show. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. This is not a stand-up routine. It's a how do they make these up? The oldest siblings of Generation X, 30 to 49, baby boom parents, 50 to 64, and silent generation grandparents, age 65 plus. So by their token, the people listening to talk radio are either baby boomers or silencers. Gen Xers don't listen to talk radio. Millennials don't listen to talk radio. I don't do any millennial. I think, well, now that can't be true. Because on internet radio, I'm either number one or number two vying with Rush. All the others fall off the cliff. And that's basically not the silencers. The silencers don't listen to talk radio on an iPhone, do they? It's mainly millennials who listen on the iPhone. I think that's very amazing. I prefer stations. To me, there's a magic to saying the name of a station. I grew up with it, you know. To me, a radio station is still king. It doesn't mean that I don't want every listener I can get, but of course, I mean a station. I think there's a magic to a W this, K that. Don't you find it magical to say the name of a station? You know, and I can't say it because that's not why they don't carry me. Like CBS fired the only conservative reporter. So I said, well, that network's defined by the last two letters of that acronym. Just eliminate the C. And you know what that stands for. All right, that was a joke. But you could do it with any of them. But you can't do it with all of the people all of the time. That's what Abe Lincoln taught. Certainly taught us that. Do you happen to know what I'm about to tell you? Do you realize that I have only 30 seconds left in the second hour of this program today, that I'm already almost flat out of time? Do you notice the master I am at talk radio, that I don't talk to the last second like a desperate hysteric? You know, the mark of an amateur in talk radio is they watch the clock and they talk till the tongue almost falls off, thinking they're so important that every word to the second. See how smooth I am? Like smooth jazz, right to the end. You got the bumper music under me, a nice bed. I'm soothing you like a snake charmer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
This is the number one talk station in the Bay Area. Strong, proud, and always conservative. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, the news is the news. You all know what the topics are. Welcome back to hour number three now of The Savage Nation. And the caller in the last hour came up with an original theory that I haven't heard on any radio or television show, which I will repeat only because it's a theory. And it's a theory that holds more water than any of the others I have heard. And the caller said perhaps the plane veered off course because it was hijacked and didn't respond to the Malaysian military who was calling it. Malaysian military shot it down, or the Chinese military shot it down. They then went over the wreckage. They saw it was a passenger plane, and they had committed a mistake. They sent in naval forces to scrub the area, take every piece of flotation, flotsam and jetsam, remove it, and that's the explanation. It was one idea. Of course, it's only a conspiracy theory, right? But it was a good one. We also talked about McCain, the warmonger, going to Ukraine and what you think about that. We also talked about Obama once again stirring the pot. Do as I say, not as I do. Again, passing a law demanding that businesses pay overtime. And, of course, you know, this will mainly affect small businesses that can't afford it. And what they will do is either reduce hours to under 40 to avoid paying overtime costs, which may be onerous, or they will outsource the jobs altogether, cutting jobs and wages. And this is why we have such problems with the president. He has no background in business, no background in producing a product or a service that anyone's ever needed. And in other words, he has the ability to sit there on a regular basis and to decry exactly the actions in others that he performs himself. In other words, he spends tens of millions of dollars on vacations and then tells employers to not be mean and to be fair and raise overtime pay. He tries to disarm and criminalize ordinary Americans. He ignores process to change laws with his little old pen and phone, but demands, and loudly demands, that leaders of other nations be thrown out of office, exiled or killed for the same crimes he commits. He continues to apologize to the world for the things America has done, which he says are bad, while taking credit for things that are similarly being done unto him. Even taking credit for the assassination of the leader of Al-Qaeda and the drone killing of American citizens without due process, as if he personally launched the ordinance. This is shocking. And this is why we're in such trouble. It's called a blind spot. And now we'll go to the callers on the Savage Nation, WBAP. Fred, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. We know this about liberals, and Obama is the ultimate liberal. The following. Number one, the odds of a liberal coming up with a workable, measurable solution to any problem are the same as two ping pong balls coming from opposite ends of the galaxy and meeting. Number two, if they haven't invented the idea, I mean, if they didn't come up with it, it's worthless.
And well, look, Al Gore invented the Internet. Look how well he's doing with global warming.
Well, he's doing pretty good for a con artist.
That's right. Well, he runs the Al Gore Leone crime family, in my estimation.
Boy. You know, if they happen to stumble upon a workable solution, which that's the only way they're going to come up on something, they have no idea of the unintended consequences. And this leads us to a possible solution on the pension crisis through Obama.
Yes. What is the what's the solution to the pension crisis?
Well, we both know the hospitals are dangerous places. And the left made fun of Sarah Palin for the death panels. So we just impose Obamacare on the pensioners. As Peter Sellers would say, problem solving.
There you go. Okay, you send all the pensioners in for a little Obamacare checkup just when their pension's about to kick in. Okay, Soylent Green, I get it. Let's go to WMAL in Washington. No, KCMO, I'm sorry. KCMO, powerful five-state signal. You never heard of it? Five states listen to it. Sarah, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to call and let you know that I am a Generation Xer that listens to talk radio. I also watch a little bit of South Park. I just wanted to let you know that even though I don't agree with probably half of what you say, I enjoy listening to you and I respect you as a person.
Well, let me tell you why you only agree with half of what I say. If you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah, I'm kind of walking that tightrope.
Hey, here's another one I heard when I was young. What do you call a liberal Democrat with three children?
What do you call a liberal Democrat with three children?
Well, that's almost a moot point because there are none. But in my day, it was, what do you call a liberal Democrat with two children? The answer was a Republican. What do you call a liberal Democrat with three children? A conservative. And what do you call a liberal Democrat with five children? You'd have to say a Nazi. I mean, but we won't go there. Anyway,
well,
thanks for being such a good sport. We need every millennial we can get to try to make you understand the world you live in from our perspective. And by the way, I watch South Park as often as I can. KKOB. Marty has an interesting point. Marty, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good to talk to you, Michael. I just start off with, I agree with you 100% on almost everything.
See, now you got it. Now there's a smart man out there at least.
So I think that if he wants to put transgenders and homosexuals and everything into the military and protect our country, I think he should put them in the Secret Service and have them protect his family. And
so how do you know he hasn't already?
Well,
what makes you think he hasn't done so already?
I would think that he would come out and say that, you know, hey, I'm following my lead and I'm going to...
A new commission report came out today headed by the loony ex-U.S. Surgeon General, if you can call her that, if you remember that crazy woman, Jocelyn Elders, who served during Bill Clinton's first term as a Surgeon General, and they said that there's no reason Obama can't lift transgender troop ban on his pen, just by the basis of a pen. They said that it's a perfectly reasonable thing to put transgender into the military. That's an interesting statement because we're talking about group cohesion, the ability for the military to fight better, the national security interests, will they be advanced by this? An independent commission, so-called, led by a former U.S. Surgeon General, has concluded there is no compelling medical reason for the U.S. Armed Forces to prohibit transgender Americans from serving. And that President Barack Obama could lift the decades-old ban without approval from Congress simply by signing an executive order. Well, there may be no compelling medical reason, but there may be a national security reason to not recommend this. You can't separate national security from being a soldier, can you? Well, all right, this is a very important topic. How about military readiness? I think that putting transgender people in barracks, showers, and other sex-segregated areas could cause sexual assaults to increase. It will also infringe on the privacy of those who are not in the transgendered crowd. This will put an additional burden on men and women in the military that they certainly don't need. And that's the whole point. This was funded by a left-wing think tank called the Palm Center, funded by a Jennifer Pritzker. The name Pritzker must ring a bell if you've ever stayed in a Hyatt hotel. I think the name Pritzker will ring a bell. Okay, what would you like to speak about? Joseph on the internet from Virginia, go ahead, please, on the transgender and the military issue. What's your opinion?
How you doing, sir? This is my first time calling. Listening every day now.
Thank you.
I've been in the military for about 10 years now. I've seen a lot of different things change, especially in American society, with emasculating male.
That's right. Well, that's the object of people who want to transform America. That's what Obama, one of the things Obama means by being a transformational president is to emasculate the military. Because then we'll be like the Danish military, unable to fight its way out of a paper bag.
Oh, that's the next thing. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing a man in skinny jeans and, you know, walking behind him, they look like a female.
And yeah, but isn't that, why don't you open yourself up to that? I mean, that's the New World Order. You don't want to see men and women separated by gender identity, do you? That's very so retro. A man and a woman? God, how gauche can you get?
I know, the next thing is to be asexual. I don't identify myself with either, so give me my
own. To be serious now, when you were, are you active duty now?
No, I'm not.
But what if when you were in a shower, I assume you're a man, and then you'd be in a male shower area. Now, transgender means that a woman who identifies as a man and had a, I guess, surgery. I don't know how that works, but I don't want to go into it. It's just my mind shuts down at the thought of it. But let's assume they sew something on. So that means it's a woman, really, inside the shower with the men, posing as a man with some surgical alteration of their body to look like a man, being one of the guys to sew, you know. Oh, but then reverse it. Now, if you're a woman in the military in a woman's shower, and there's a former man who became a woman and they cut it off, doesn't that violate the privacy rights of females in the military? Doesn't it mess things up and make people look over their shoulder and act like, what's weird here? Something's wrong here? I that's how it strikes me. But then, you know, I'm not a member of the millennial generation. I don't think as clearly as the youngsters do. You know, they think so clearly. They know everything. Just ask them. Well, they have the answer in the palm of their hand given to them by Zuckerberg. Why would they need to ask, read one of the great books or study history? They don't need to study history to know the answer to anything. Toilet, smartphone in the toilet, smartphone in the shower. I'm sure they make a waterproof smartphone so the millennials can continuously use the smartphone while they're in the toilet and the shower. You can't take them away from it for 2 seconds. I mean, you know, this is the important thing, is they have access to knowledge that's based upon Zuckerberry. Whatever Zuckerberry wants them to know, Zuckerberry will let them know. Whatever old Zuckerberry wants them to know will be put into their smartphone. Whatever a Google Smith wants them to know will go into their smartphone. All right, it's the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a moment. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Fact is that we're living in the most dangerous, lying times. And at the same time, John McCain is out there trying to beat the war drums for a military incursion against Russia. This lunatic, this warmonger, you want to hear what I think? I think that McCain will destroy the GOP's chances in the elections coming up in November. No one else will say that to you. Let me explain my thinking. John McCain is a well-known military-industrial complex frontman. And we also know that he's not for peace. He's for war. We also know that John McCain is on the way to Ukraine with a group of other military-industrial complex lobbyists, and they're trying to stir up a little military intervention. The problem here is this. When the midterm elections come about, and the vast majority of voters who are now self-identifying as independent, you know what they're going to say? You know what? I may not like these lying Democrats, but at least they seem to be against war, even though they're not. The Democrats, of course, have started war from Libya to Syria, but they're so good at PR because they own the press, people think that they're pacifists. But we don't want to vote for Republicans because guys like John McCain typify Republicans, and they're all warmongers. So I'm sending out a message to the Republicans who listen to this show, all of you who will not let your candidates, Ted Cruz, come on the show, all of you phonies who did not let Mitt Romney come on the show. You cost Romney the election. You're going to cost the Republicans an election, and you well know it, because you really don't work for Republicans, do you? I know your names. I know who you are. And I know that you work for the Democrats while posing as workers for the Republicans as campaign advisors. But the Republicans are so flat-footed, they don't even know that they're being had. Did you hear what I just say? The news is so hot right now, I don't know where to begin. I'll just go stick with the subjects I started with. Our dictator-in-chief says he has a pen, he has a chair, he has a desk, and he's going to sign it, and he does it. And he signs a new law, fresh, brand-new law, that he came up with all by his clever little self. Never ran a lemonade stand, never produced a product in the entire world that anyone ever wanted. His entire life was spent pushing papers and community organizing, but he doesn't know the first thing about business and what it takes to run and manage a business. So he says, I'm raising the overtime pay. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like it, very, very good. Everyone should be paid for overtime. Until you add it up, and then the business says, wait a minute, we can't afford it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to cut our employees down to 35 hours a week, and we're going to outsource jobs, Mr. President. Now, do you understand what happens when you have a man who has not run a business trying to manage an economy of this size? Which is why I say one of the precepts, or shall I say qualifications for the presidency, should be that you've never been a lawyer. Because lawyers don't run businesses, generally. Lawyers are very, very clever at what they do, but they don't know business. Generally, they don't know business at all. They don't run businesses, unless they also happen to be businessmen. But generally, people trained in the law are not trained in running a business. A business requires principles that are very hard to understand if you are a lame-brained college professor who's never done that. If all you've done is collect a check from a giant bureaucracy like a university, you don't understand that the money comes from somewhere. So what you do is you spend it. You go on trips and junkets and you hire consultants, but you have no idea where the money comes from. That's why the nuts in the colleges walk around saying the world's unfair. 855-407-282 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. The website's michaelsavage.com. The fire is out in San Francisco. We still find it very odd that it started 2 days after the newspapers reported that several of the fire girls were making over $300,000 a year. You hear this? How can this city survive with such greedy pigs in the fire department earning over $300,000 a year with pensions that are probably going to cost more than $500,000 a year? Animal Farm, read Animal Farm, watch the cartoon. Watch the cartoon and you'll see where liberalism takes you. Read Animal Farm all over again. You'll see why fire girls make over $300,000 a year in San Francisco. Okay? I don't think they did a very good job on the fire, by the way. A huge Mission Bay blaze is being reported that it's out, right? Did they do a great job on stopping it? How come they didn't stop it sooner? How come they didn't stop the fire sooner, I would like to know. There were 90 fire engines that showed up. The fire was not really stopped too quickly. And in the meantime that this was going on, the fire chief and her friends were about two blocks away in a command center giving media reports all day long. And there was not so much as a carbon smudge on her white helmet or white uniform. But there were men climbing the ladders, very brave men climbing the ladders. But they didn't stop the fire.
Savage.
I'm going to do what I can on my own to raise wages for more hardworking Americans. So a few weeks ago, I signed an executive order requiring federal contractors to pay their employees a fair wage of at least $10.10 an hour. Today, I'm going to use my pen to give more Americans the chance to earn the overtime pay.
I watched this guy. Overtime's a pretty simple idea. I watched this guy with the Stooges behind him today signing this overtime law. And I wanted to scream out. I wanted once a heckler to jump up and say, hey, Mr. President, how much did your last golf trip cost us? Not one heckler. How does this man get away? How does he, not that how does he get away with it. I understand it's a closed shop. How does he say this with a straight face? That's what I want to know. Well, okay, that's like saying, how is a politician a politician? How is an actor an actor? How does a sicko play a hero? How many war heroes have you seen in the movies? And then the next day they're talking against guns in the military. How about all of them? I mean, how do they do it? Actors and politicians, they're about the same. This show is so amazingly dense with information. My show is the Persian miniature of talk radio. Now, those of you who are art aficionados, including those of you who have stolen art in San Francisco, who are listening every day, every time I say where are the missing 700 paintings taken from the museums, will know what I mean when I say the Savage Nation is the Persian miniature of talk radio. Because I think that most of the rest of the shows are like John Nagy, fill in the dots. I mean, you turn on a radio show today, you can pretty much fill in the dots yourself. You know what you're going to hear. With me, it's a Persian miniature, and as such, I would get bored if I were just filling in the dots. So I hope you'll stay with me. The phone number, as you well know, the Russians, meanwhile, are moving tanks and paratroopers to the border of Ukraine. Oh, you didn't read that in your local paper? Oh, yeah. Obama failed to frighten Putin. Kerry's lantern jaw and hefty ketchup bottles did not intimidate Putin. Because Russia is launching paratrooper exercises east of Ukraine, and Moscow tycoons are moving assets from the west to far east, meaning the rich Russians are moving their assets out of Moscow, incidentally, which is very interesting, which is why real estate is booming in Manhattan, Miami, and Beverly Hills. I don't know if you know that as well. If you look at the upper end of real estate, which I study as a hobby, Manhattan, Miami, and Beverly Hills real estate is just soaring as a result of all the emigres flowing in. They'd rather take a chance on America. They figure Obama will eventually be out of office. And this will once again be a great nation for people who know how to make money and how to spend it. See, make no mistake about it. People who make a lot of money know how to spend it. They buy expensive things, and that helps the economy. People who make no money have no money left over to spend, and that's how you wind up one salami in the butcher shop, which is what they had in the ex-Soviet Union. But don't tell that to Sheila Jackson Lee or Harry Reid. I mean, they should know better. McCain to lead a delegation to the Ukraine. Can you believe this? Where does this man get the demonic energy to be on every television show available and then fly off to Ukraine to push a war? He's returning to Kiev not for the herring, but he's returning to lead a large bipartisan delegation of warmongers to Ukraine to meet with illegitimate government leaders as the Russian occupation of Crimea rolls along and Crimeans prepare to vote in a referendum on seceding from Kiev. The group includes some of the worst louts in the history of the U.S. Senate. Richard Durbin, who called our soldiers Nazis, John Barrasso, Ron Johnson, Christopher Murphy, warmonger from Connecticut, Jeff Flake, and Sheldon Whitehouse. Now, why are they going over there? What are they going to do in Ukraine? There are other topics. Where are the missing paintings in San Francisco? Why has there been no FBI investigation of the 731 pieces of fine art that have been given out as gifts under the guise of lending them by the Fine Arts Museum? Why is there no investigation? Why has it not appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle? Because it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Feinstein clan. The Feinstein-Pelosi clan owns the newspaper business. They don't own it specifically, but they control it. Control it as sure as I'm sitting here. Where are the missing paintings? I'm asking questions that have real meaning. There's not a city in America that would let 750 or 40 pieces of fine art go missing without calling in a federal investigation. And yet here, nothing. Where's the U.S. attorney? What's he looking into? Someone who was homophobic in a McDonald's? You talk about corruption. You have no idea what corruption is until you lived in San Francisco. And organized crime couldn't do a greater damage to a city. And the taxpayers, what schmucks. All they're concerned about is whether you're racist or homophobic. That's it. That's the litmus test. No one raises a voice over anything. Everyone's been neutralized. Feinstein was in the news, opened up her big yapper over the fact that the CIA looked into her staffer's computers. She went berserk. Constitution this, Bill of Rights that, violated this law, violated that law. Methinks thou doth protesteth too much, Lady Di. But as you well know, in San Francisco, there's no newspapers. There's no opposition party. This is what happens when you have a one-party system and no media whatsoever. None. No media whatsoever. This is what happens. Eventually, it winds up like Detroit. Gutted. The politics are so off the ken of America. It's as though we've been invaded by a foreign army, and they installed a tin pot dictator. And all we can do is complain about it. 855-407-2822. There are many other subjects that I want to talk about. Here's more news. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee approves a package, I love the word, of loans and aid for Ukraine. A package. Your money, in other words, they gave away. A package. Everything's a package, yeah. And how much would you like in the package, Senator? Well, I think the package is a little light today. I think your brain is a little light, Senator. The package. They're giving away your money again. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Who's on the committee? What a group of morons. You got people in this country who could use the money. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. And I ask you again, are you as upset as Dianne Feinstein about the CIA looking in on the computer traffic or messaging of Congress? I'm not. I'm glad the CIA looked in on them. I'd like to know what they found. See, that's what I want to know. Why is she squawking all of a sudden? What is it that old Dianne Feinstein is so worried about? What is it that she thinks the CIA found in her computer that has her so alarmed? I mean, she's concerned about the Constitution. I get that. She wasn't concerned about it last week when they were looking in or when the NSA was spying on you and I. And now she's concerned because the CIA was looking in on her. Here's Feinstein again screaming like a stuck you-know-what about the CIA looking in on her computer traffic. Let's listen.
Our staff involved in this matter have the appropriate clearances, handled this sensitive material according to established procedures and practice protect classified information.
Sure. Right, right.
And
right.
were provided access to right. the Panetta review by the CIA.
Oh, Panetta, he's God Almighty.
I view the acting consul general's referral as a potential effort to intimidate this staff, and I am not taking it lightly.
Now, she's high and mighty. You see, she can't be intimidated by anybody. She is above the law. You understand that? There should be no oversight over Lady Feinstein. Lady Feinstein has had it her way for over 40 years, and she'll be damned if anyone's going to look into what she might be doing, because she is a law unto herself. That's what she's saying. How dare the CIA look at her? Listen to the next clip and tell me what you think.
I wrote a letter to Director Brennan objecting to any further CIA investigation to the separation of powers, constitutional issues that the search raised.
I
followed this with a second letter January 23rd to the director asking 12 specific questions about the CIA's actions. Questions that the CIA has refused to answer.
Now, you got to understand what this is. The subtext of this is who has absolute power, who has power over everyone. Feinstein believes she does. She believes, as the queen of the Senate Intelligence Committee, she has the right to have power over the CIA. The CIA says, not so fast. We're an independent agency. We don't have to answer to you for everything that we do because we don't trust you. We don't trust members of your staff. We're saying, wait a minute, somebody in your office leaked these stories about interrogation techniques, and you used it to crucify us in the CIA, which led to the destruction of several important careers. Moreover, we have never forgiven you for letting our CIA assets die in Benghazi. And maybe we can show you that what goes around comes around. I mean, that's the subtext. 855-400-72. Is that my number? I think I don't know anymore. I'm slipping back to another phone, another show. Yeah, that's my number. 855-400-7282. Here are the top contributors to Senator John McCain. Contributor Merrill Lynch, 435,000. Citigroup, 397,000. J.P. Morgan, 395K. AT&T, 365K. Goldman Sachs, 358K. Morgan Stanley, 313K. U.S. Government, 264,000. Here are the rest of the top contributors to Senator John McCain. UBS, 248,000. Pinnacle West Capital, 229K. Credit Suisse, 223K. Price Waterhouse, 205K. Bank of America, 204K. Wachovia, 198K. K, FedEx Corp, 196K, U.S. Army, 188K, Tig McCain, Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher, 166K, General Electric, 160K, Verizon Communications, 153K. And these are the contributors to McCain's career life. I wish that they would contribute to my show by advertising here. Why do they boycott my show and yet give money to this warmonger? Why doesn't Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, AT&T, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, UBS, U.S. Army, Credit Suisse, FedEx, General Electric, Emerson Electric, why don't they advertise on my show? What, I'm a patriot so they don't advertise? But they give money to this warmonger, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
All right, here we go. News headlines for Thursday, the 13th. Thank God it's not Friday the 13th because we still don't know where the plane is. Maybe the Chinese found it and don't want us to find the missing plane. You say, oh, come on, don't be crazy. Well, think about the Chinese train station attack on March 1st, an attack by Muslim Uyghurs who killed 29 Chinese and injured 140 others. You didn't read about it because you were busy studying which goon threw which basketball to whom. But the fact is that the Muslims are on the warpath in one of China's largest regions, and it could be this was a terrorist attack. It could be, I said, and that they're hiding, right? Well, you don't want to hear that, though. Was the missing jet hijacked? U.S. officials are now saying they fear the plane was captured and flown to a mystery location. You didn't read that either. Another thing to worry about, if that's not enough, is that McCain, the lunatic warmonger, is bent on destroying the GOP chances in 2014. Now, he may not knowingly be bent on doing this, but he may as well be knowingly bent on doing this, because if he continues to go out and beat the war drums, as he is doing now with Ukraine, and if he continues to call for military intervention, John the Shane McCain will undermine, amongst independents, their vote for Republicans this year. Why? They'll say, you know what? This incompetent liberal administration, at least they're not warmongers, even though they really are. McCain looks like the classic Republican warmonger. Did you hear what I just said? And while McCain may not be purposeful in his effort to destroy the GOP in 2014, he will accomplish that goal regardless, in my opinion. You hear what I'm just saying? Everywhere you turn, there's John McCain calling for war. John McCain calling for intervention. John McCain calling for military. John McCain stirring the pot. John McCain, how does he do this? Why does he do it? It's almost an animus that's demonic. 855-400-7282, michaelsavage.com is the website. A 6.3 mag quake struck off the South Japanese coast. No compelling medical reason to exclude transvestites from the military, says a so-called commission headed up by none other than Jocelyn Elder. That's right, the experts met in where? San Francisco. And the experts meeting in San Francisco said there's no reason to keep transgenders from joining the military. Interesting, isn't it? So we've gone from don't ask, do tell, or do ask and do tell, to, well, it's a family show, so let's let it go with that. It just rhymes with H-E-L-L. That's where they're taking the military. That's where they're taking the U.S. military. From the greatest fighting force in the world to a force that's not fighting at all. What else is in the news? Major quake threat lurks off California's coast. Ryan, the so-called Rhino Republican, says he's working on getting illegal aliens as much amnesty as possible, as fast as he can. Never trusted Ryan, never liked Ryan. Told you who Ryan was. Told you that. Finally, if you go to michaelsavage.com, where I say give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America, you'll see the second lead story is this. Stolen F-35 secrets are now showing up in China's stealth fighter. Remember I told you that? That China was selling us little parts in order to steal technology, but you didn't want to listen to me. Well, you better listen to me. It's frightening. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, no one is reporting on the fact that the fire girls who make over $300,000 a year were not actually battling the fire. They were at a command center two blocks away. They didn't climb the ladders because their white suits and white helmets did not have so much as a smudge on them. Well, they're back at their stations now, adding up their pensions and laughing all the way to Zurich. That's right. That's San Francisco for you, the most corrupt city in America. By the way, where are the 700 missing oil paintings from the museum? No report in the local San Francisco Once newspaper. Where are the missing paintings? Why is there no federal investigation? Answer, because there's no federal investigation. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, this is what's going on. There are other stories. I'm afraid to tell you about them because you've had a bad enough day as it is. You want to hear them? Well, no, I better not tell you more about them. Israel passed a law meant to draft ultra-Orthodox men. They don't want to go. The Obama administration is running our special forces into the ground, reports the Washington Times. Russia has agreed to build two Iran nuclear plants. Wow. Ukraine won't intervene in Crimea, President says. That's interesting. They can't intervene in their own national security. How are they going to intervene in Crimea? And if you haven't seen it yet, I suggest you see it now, all on michaelsavage.com. Finally, the ultimate Obamacare escape clause was written overnight by the chief executive who has a pen and a stool. And Fox News is reporting that in what might be the death knell for Obamacare's most controversial component, the individual mandate to buy insurance, the administration just secretly added a mega exemption that critics say will allow virtually anybody to skirt the rule. And, of course, that means that Obamacare is dead for now. So Obama has just undermined Obama.
Savage.